Probably the Prabhupada's commentary
to this, which includes the translation.
This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Duijana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nittai Gaur Chandra, Lord Nittai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. Parama Karuna. Sava Avatar Sara Siromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sava means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Ram and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bajo Bajo Bhai Chaitanya Nittai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction, Viswasa Kori. But what is the process? The process is Vishaya Chariya Serira Se Majiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna Hari Hari without any motive of sense gratification. Deka Ore Bhai Tribhuvane Nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, or to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join, or to speak of human beings. Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself. My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Srila Prabhupada. Before I begin speaking on this commentary, although I won't speak long, I wanted to read a very short quote. I always like to read this in connection with this commentary. I'll give you a little history of the quote. This quote was written by Srila Prabhupada in a diary that he kept. As we know, Srila Prabhupada arrived in America in September 1965 on board Jaladuta. He went to Pennsylvania, stayed in the home of the Agarwals for a short time. Then he came by bus, I think it was, to Manhattan. And he had no place to stay. I think this was right around the time. This quote was written on February 3rd, 1966. So February 3rd, 1966, Srila Prabhupada was staying in a yoga studio, Dr. Mishra's yoga studio in Manhattan. And I believe, yes, he was staying in a yoga studio. It was a two-room studio, and there was nothing. He had to, every day, in order to take his bath and to eat, he had been previously staying in Dr. Mishra's apartment that he had on 72nd Street. But somehow, maybe due to some inconvenience, Dr. Mishra moved him into his yoga studio and had no cooking facilities, no bathing facilities. Prabhupada was just in these empty rooms. So every day he had to walk to Dr. Mishra's apartment. This is February. He'd never seen snow before, don't forget. It's September 1965. He just arrived in America. He had to walk every day to take bath and to cook for himself. And I think that Lila Amrita also describes some of the other obstacles that Prabhupada, as we all know, was confronting at that time. And from there, he had to leave there, and then he stayed in a loft in the Bowery with somebody who was a drug addict. And from there, Prabhupada pushed out of the loft, and I think that's when Mukunda Maharaj is described in The Miracle on Second Avenue. His book found a place for him, Prabhupada, to stay, and they gathered together a few of his followers. But this time, this particular time, Prabhupada, as I said, he was staying in the yoga studio, and he had some talks he was giving in the yoga studio, and the weekend he would go up to Dr. Mishra's ashram, upstate New York, and he would have kirtan there at Dr. Mishra's ashram. And Dr. Mishra was an impersonalist, and it wasn't so easy for Prabhupada at that time to really speak the message of Bhagavad Gita, but he did anyways, although he attracted first Dr. Mishra's followers with kirtan. So Prabhupada had produced, on February 3rd, had produced a recording with some other Westerners that decided to chant with him. And because at that time, of course, Prabhupada was really emphasizing chanting Hare Krishna, Kevala Ananda Kanda, the process of self-realization, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he wrote in his diary, I love this. He wrote in his diary on February 3rd, 1966. I remember the first time I saw this diary. It was before it was published. I used to go to the archives. Quite regularly we have our Bhaktivedanta archives in North Carolina. And the archives used to collect whatever they could collect of, you know, from all his lectures, Prabhupada's letters, everything. And whenever somebody something surfaced, a devotee would give something or find something, if they were so inspired, they would give it to the archives to preserve it, because the archives had the whole method of preserving paper, because in due course of time the paper discolors and begins to, so the archive would save it. So I was visiting the archives at the time, and the devotee at that time, his name was Ranjit Das, who was in charge of the archives. Every time I go to North Carolina, I always go to see what's the latest in the archives. And I came to the archives and that day, and Ranjit greeted me and sat down and said, "Maharaj, I've got something to show you." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Something new." I said, "Really? What is it?" He said, "Well, this has been for years in the possession of a devotee named Wali Mardan. It was Prabhupada's diary that he kept from the very first day he arrived in America. It's been published since then. How you can get it, it's called his two diaries. This is the Jaladutta diary, Prabhupada's diary from when he was on board the Jaladutta, and this diary was, what's this one called? Satyanarayan? Can't remember. It's the diary that Prabhupada kept as soon as he arrived in America. So he said, "Check this out." So I looked at it, I said, "What is it?" He said, "You don't know what it is?" And I started looking through it. I said, "This is Prabhupada's diary?" He said, "Yes, this is Prabhupada's diary. Some Bali Mardan just donated it, I think it was like a week or two before I got there to the archives." So I said, "Do we have anything else to talk about?" He said, "Why?" I said, "I got some things I want to read." So I went into the other room, closed the door, and I started going through the whole diary. And it was then that I saw this quote. And I said, "Did you see this?" And I turned it over to Ranjit. And he said, "No, I haven't read the whole thing." I said, "You haven't read it yet?" He said, "Read this." And it was this quote. That's why it's so precious to me. Because when I saw it, I was just like, it was pure Prabhupada. Literally just pure Prabhupada. Here's the quote. So many other things in the diary. Prabhupada was putting, every day he would put in "no expenses today," or "we spent 10 cents on Subway today." You know, everything was entered. Everything was entered. But on February 3rd, Prabhupada said, "Today there was very nice demonstration of tape record Sankirtan by me. It is all grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Haridas Thakur said that the transcendental sound of Harinam would even purify the heart of birds and beasts. Today, this statement of Thakur Haridas is corroborated." Who's he talking about? "These Americans cannot understand even the word's meaning of the Sankirtan, and yet they were so much attracted. It is all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power. There is no credit for me." When I saw that, tears came to my eyes. I just couldn't. I was just so overwhelmed. I mean, this was a... Because this song, Parama Karuna, is talking about that, you know, merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. So Prabhupada is saying right here that Haridas Thakur's words today are being corroborated. He's just been in America for a couple of months. I mean, he had been in Butler already. He was in New York only a couple of months, chanting. And Well, someone would say, is Prabhupada calling these Americans animals? Well, there is phrase dvipada pashu. Prabhupada speaks about it, that there are four-legged animals and there are two-legged animals. And, of course, Prabhupada would oftentimes speak very strongly that human life means don't behave like animal. Human life begins when one voluntarily accepts austerities. Prabhupada would many times would quote a very heavy verse by Lord Rishabdev. How does it begin? I forgot. Yes, I forgot the verse. To pull the Vyam Putra Kegina Satvam Sudhya Jasman Bhana Sakyam Chalantam. Yes. He will quote that verse of Lord Rishabdev to his sons. He said, of all living entities accepted material bodies, one who's been awarded the human form of life should not waste that human form of life like the animals. Like the literal words is like the dogs and hogs that eat stool. Tapodavyam putra kayena sattvam. He said one should accept divine austerities and penances to achieve the divine position of devotional service, because by such activities one's heart becomes purified, one begins to experience happiness, which is transcendental to material happiness, which continues forever. So Prabhupada would always emphasize, he would quote that verse and say that human life begins when one voluntarily accepts austerities to achieve the divine position of devotional service. Or, because by such activities the heart is purified. In so many places Prabhupada really emphasized in many of his early lectures that what distinguishes a human being from an animal. Although it may sound like a very strong statement to be making, in fact, sometimes people objected. Nonetheless, it is the statements of scriptures that this is the distinction. That the animals, they have four activities: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That is their four activities. And if a human being, what is the difference between a human being? If he simply, his life is simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If that is his life, what distinguishes the human being from the animal? Except they do it in a more polished way. They eat, the animal eats on a bowl or eats off the ground. The human being eats at a fancy plate at a dinner table and sleeps, animal sleeps on the street, and the human being sleeps in fancy beds. Mating, defending. If we simply defend, this is mine. Janasya mahoyam ahamameti. If we think in terms of life's illusion, simply thinking in terms of I and mine, and defending what we claim to be ours, without understanding that ultimately everything belongs to the Lord, then it's simply the same as the animals do, but it's simply more polished. So, of course, what distinguishes the human being from the animal is, Prabhupada emphasized, religion. To accept the statements of the scriptures, the statements of the Supreme Lord, and to voluntarily accept these things for the purpose of purification of heart, to achieve transcendental position, which gives real happiness, not the happiness derived from eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but the happiness derived from satisfying the Lord, which is far superior happiness. And as we were speaking yesterday, we were quoting Srila Prabhupada, that the whole mission of the Krishna Consciousness movement is to make others happy. We quoted that reference. Sarve sukhinam bhavantu. Sarve sukhinam bhavantu. Yes. Let everyone be happy. That is the goal. of the Krishna consciousness. We said we want to see everyone happy. This is our mission. To see that everyone is happy, genuinely happy. Not the happiness derived from sense gratification. We've already described the happiness derived from sense gratification is concerned. This happiness can be obtained in due course of time, just as in due course of time one attains miseries without asking them. And the happiness derived from sense gratification always ends in miseries. That is the point. Krishna states the same in the Bhagavad Gita. That these activities are the cause leading to the gates of hell. Simply suffering. Sense gratification. Prabhupada would also quote the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that my Sanskrit, my memory of verses somehow, I've been quoting them enough lately that, you know, maybe it's my 59th birthday, old age. I used to quote this verse all the time. It's gone. Life's desire should never be directed for sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire into the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of one's work. I can remember the English, but the Sanskrit is gone. Huh? No, that's different. That's not Dharmasyapavargasya. No, different verse. But it's in the same section. First canto, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. No, not at the Bhumiya Dvijashri. I remember that one. Vanasham Vibhagasa Shradushatasha Dhamasa Sangsiri Haritosha. That means that all activities are meant for the pleasure of Lord Hari, whatever position it is. It will come to me probably after the lecture. But more important, life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. Kamasya dendriya pratiya lavo jiveta javata. Jigasya tatva jigasya nato yascheha karmabhi. That's it. That wasn't the verse?
No, I just said something. You just...
It was there. I just didn't trigger.
Yeah, I triggered it, but I said something. I don't know what I was saying. I just karma had to come. Just remember that statement.
Oh, anyway, some came. Krishna says, Matak smiti gyanam abhavam abhya. I am the source of memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness.
Yeah, not me.
Kamasya nindriya patya. Lavo jiveta yavata. Jivasya tatva jigyasya. Nato yaskimacha. Karmapi. Life's desire should not be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live only because the human form of life enables one to inquire into the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of one's work. In other words, whatever work one does, the goal should be for self-realization. It shouldn't be simply working hard, simply for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So on those grounds, and we can think of so many other verses from scripture, Prabhupada, Vaikuntha man, who descended from the spiritual world, comes to America, does a recording in a studio. I don't know if it was in a studio. Yeah, I think it was. Somebody asked Prabhupada to come and chant with a few Americans at that time. And it was in the studio. And says, Haridas Thakur's statements have been corroborated today. Haridas Thakur made that statement. There were some atheistic brahmanas who were challenging Haridas Thakur. As we know, Haridas Thakur, he was Namacharya of the holy name of the Lord. He would continuously chant the holy name of the Lord everywhere he would go. He was always absorbed in the holy name. And some brahmanas were challenging him. Haridas, why do you have to cause so much disturbance by chanting so loudly? Don't you know that this chanting should be done japa to oneself? And they were accusing Haridas Thakur of creating a disturbance, because wherever he would go, he was always loudly chanting the holy name of the Lord. And they challenged him. On what grounds are you doing these things? Please give us your evidence. They were Brahmas, smartas, so-called learned in the scriptures, but they didn't understand the conclusions of the scriptures because they didn't understand the glories of the holy name of the Lord. They didn't understand the nature of devotional service. Bhagavat bhakti hinasya jati shastram chapastapa apranaseva dehanam mandanam lokaranjanam. This is explained that even if persons know all so much scripture, they perform all kinds of austerities and penances, even if they've taken a high birth, if they're devoid of devotional service, then all of these things, high birth, knowledge of scriptures, austerities, they're all like ornaments on a dead body. They simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. So the Brahmins, they had all these ornaments on a dead body. They were so-called Brahmanas, but they didn't understand. Because they were devoid of devotion and couldn't understand Haridas Thakur's motivation. He thought Haridas Thakur is chanting in the streets like a sentimentalist, causing a disturbance. Who wants to hear such loud sounds disturbing? And they were Brahmanas. So they said, give us your evidence. On what grounds are you doing this? And Haridas Thakur, he presented his evidence. He presented evidence from, he quoted a verse, I think, from Prahlad Maharaj in the Naradiya Purana. And in that verse is described that one who chants the holy name of the Lord loudly is considered to be 100 times more advanced than one who chants it to himself. It was a quote from the Naradiya Purana. And he quoted another verse from the Bhagavatam also, from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. He quoted a verse that was spoken by who was the one who was a serpent and was touched by Krishna's lotus feet? And he came, he was delivered from the serpent's body. When the serpent who was devouring Nanda Maharaj.
Vidyadhara.
Yes, Vidyadhara. Yes, that's right, Vidyadhara. So there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, after the serpent was devouring, while the serpent was devouring Nanda Maharaj, who was sleeping, and then Krishna came to protect his devotee and touched the serpent with his lotus foot, and then the serpent gave up his body and assumed his previous body, Vidyadhara. And then he offered a prayer to Lord Krishna, and he said that one can be benefited, if one can be benefited far greater, one derives great benefit by chanting your name loudly, what to speak, for the benefit of others, that's it. For others' benefit, what to speak of for the benefit of himself. If they can derive so much benefit from chanting, what to speak of me, who has been touched by your lotus foot? What benefit they must have been there. So, Vidyadhara quoted, he cited that, and it's in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So Haridas Thakur quoted that verse. There's two kinds of evidence that he quoted. And the Brahmins, they challenged him and say, oh, now you think you're a big philosopher? Because they were so proud. They know so many, they didn't know these verses. So they didn't want to accept that Haridas Thakur was very learned. He knew all the conclusions of the scriptures, although maybe he was not as well versed as the Brahmins who knew so many scriptural evidences. But as we describe their scriptural evidence, were just simply ornaments on a dead body, because they didn't understand the goal of all the scriptures. So they said, oh, so now you become a very learned philosopher. And they said to Haridas, they said, if this evidence doesn't exist in the scriptures, and we find out, we'll cut off your nose. So Haridas simply smiled and very started loudly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he just walked away. He realized he wasn't going to get anywhere with this Brahmin. But 2 days later, the Brahmin's nose contracted. I think this is smallpox.
Leprosy.
No, that's a different one. Leprosy. Chakravarti. This Brahmin, there's no name for this Brahmin. Described Chaitanya Bhagavat, says smallpox. But anyways, leprosy. Because the important thing is that his nose melted off his face. For the offense committed to Haridas Thakur. And of course we know, of course, Haridas Thakur, he's Namacharya, he had such firm faith in the holy name. And Haridas Thakur explained to the Brahmin that loud chanting is so much great benefit that not only can all humans derive benefit, but even the birds and the beasts, and even the trees and the plants. And he went on to explain everyone benefits from the chanting of the holy name. Every living entity benefits. One who simply vibrates the holy name of the Lord, everyone is benefited. So why should I not? And then he gave those scriptural evidence. Birds, beasts, and trees, and plants. So we understand, of course, that is the mood of the Vaishnava. He's thinking how to make everyone happy. Not only the human beings, as Prabhupada says here, he says, we may not be so potent. He said that it is not possible for ordinary men to chant. At least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna Mantra chanting. He was citing how Lord Chaitanya, he could make the animals chant. Like when he was walking through the forest of Jarakanda, Lord Chaitanya would make the elephants and the deers, and the tigers who had natural enmity towards one another. When Lord Chaitanya was walking through the forest of Jarakanda, the tigers and the deer, they were embracing one another. And kissing one another, and chanting by his power. And when Lord Chaitanya went into the river to take his bath, and a herd of wild elephants came into the river, and Lord Chaitanya splashed some water on the elephants, and the elephants immediately jumped up and began chanting the holy name of the Lord. Inconceivable. So Prabhupada is saying that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that he can make the animals chant. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Make even the animals chant. And Lochandas Thakur is saying the same thing. Lochandas Thakur in this bhajan that we just chanted says that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are so merciful. They've come to give a very wonderful process. It is not very difficult. Simply chant and dance. Anyone can do it. But what was the... There was a little hitch. Anybody remember what it was we read about? What was the little condition?
Sounds good again.
Faith, yes. That actually was two. There must be complete faith. We talked about faith the last time we were here, about the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord and the currency, faith. And so that is required, essential. But also, there was another...
A little one.
Anyone remember what the little hitch? No. That was
Vishayacharya.
Vishayacharya. What is it? Give up sense. Prabhupada made it sound very... He said, what is the process? The process is Vishayacharya. Seira Se Manjia. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. This is the only restriction. But he clarifies it. Listen more. He clarifies it. Listen to more, Prabhupada says. If one gives up sense gratification, it's sure that he will reach the desired goal. Muke bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna Hare Hare without any motive of sense gratification. That's his criteria. Without any motive for sense gratification. That is all. Chant with faith. That what will this chanting of Hare Krishna do? What is it going to give me? It's not going to give me, I shouldn't be approaching it for, I should say, for anything other than for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. Prabhupada so nicely describes it. I happen to have it here, so I want to just read it because it's so apropos. And on this point that Prabhupada just made right here, on, Krishna Kirtana Gananata Naparo 132, Prabhupada says in another commentary to the prayer to the six Goswamis, he said, he's talking about chanting and dancing again. He said, just a little bit, I'll read it. It's about chanting and dancing. This is another pure Prabhupada. But it's a Prabhupada classic. Dira Dira Jana Priyo. He's talking about chanting and dancing. The six Goswamis, they taught by their example. They were always absorbed in chanting and dancing. This is the six Goswamis. He's referring to the first verse. Krishna Kirtana Gananata Naparo Prema Tambo Vidhi. Dira Dira Jana Priyo. Dira Dira. So he's talking about Dira Jana Priyo. In this way, we should become friendly to every people. Dira Dira. There are two classes of men. Dira, sober, and other class, rogue. So both of them will be pleased by Krishna Kirtan. You have practical experience. When there is Krishna Kirtan, people, all classes of people, become very much pleased, and they join. As soon as your kirtan will be pure Sankirtan, not artificial, not professional. There are many professional dances. That will not attract. But even if you do not know the art of dancing, if you simply dance in ecstasy for Krishna's love, that will be appreciated by everyone. That, he says it twice. That will be appreciated by everyone. That will be appreciated by everyone. Krishna Kirtana Gana Natana Puro. This is the art. One does not require to become a Vedantist. Actually, Vedanti means one who knows the ultimate knowledge, Veda. Veda means knowledge. And Anta means ultimate, Vedanta. Then what is that ultimate knowledge? Krishna. Vedaishta Saivar Aham Eva Veda. That is ultimate knowledge. So one who has understood Krishna and Krishna's love, he's dancing. What more Vedanta can do? Prabhupada is saying here. If you're chanting for Krishna's love, what you can study your Vedas, but more, what more will it do for you? You've already understood the goal of the Vedas. You're chanting for Krishna's love. You're chanting for Krishna's pleasure. Everything is automatically, the goal has already been achieved. What more will you study? Of course, Lord Chaitanya was also a Vedantist, he knew Veda. So that is first class realization of Vedanta. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that point. that, all right, give up sense gratification. Maybe not so easy to give up sense gratification. But at least when we're chanting Hare Krishna, let's do it for Krishna's pleasure. Give up motive for material gain in chanting Hare Krishna. And if you give up motive for material gain when chanting Hare Krishna and do it for Krishna's pleasure, that will eradicate all other motivations within the heart, the desire for sense enjoyment. Will all be destroyed. That is the power of the holy name. Chaito dapana majana bhava mahadavagi nirvapana. It cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. Cleansing the heart, the cleansing process is there when one chants with faith that what will chanting do? It will, as Prabhupada says, vishvasakori, right? One has to have firm faith that this will lead me to the goal. Paramakaruna. I have to go back to the quote to get the exact quote. I don't want to be incomplete in my reference. He says, don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction, visvasakori, that yes, by chanting with this firm faith, that one will get all perfection by chanting. What is that perfection? Everything can be achieved through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And then we quoted, last time we were here, we quoted that verse, Vedeshu Yogeshu Tapasu Chaiva. Does anyone remember that verse we quoted last time we were here? From Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter. Yogi parastanam upaiti chadyam. Vedeshi yogeshu tapasu chaiva, daneshu yapunya palam pradishtam. At yeti tatsav midam viridva, yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam. A person who accepts the path of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all of these, and at the end, he comes back to me. Everything is automatically achieved in chanting Hare Krishna. We don't have to make a separate endeavor. Prabhupada would say, when you go to a wealthy man, why should you ask for a few nickels? If you can get everything. So what is the greatest wealth to obtain? One who has Krishna Prema, what does he have? He has Krishna. So Krishna Prema is sometimes not so easy to get. Because when Krishna gives Krishna Prema, he gives himself too. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they are more merciful. Because they came to give Krishna Prema. By giving Krishna Prema, you get Krishna. Although previously, not so easy to get Krishna Prema. He would not give it so easy. He gives liberation easily, but he doesn't give him devotional service so easily, because when he gives devotional service, he has to give himself. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, so merciful. Parama Karuna Pabhu Dvijana. They came to give Krishna prema, and they simply said, here, take. That is all. Just take. That is Srila Prabhupada's purport to this bhajan. I think we should stop here. I think I'm going a little bit later than I should. We have one other event. I'm just going to take a few minutes for this. There's one devotee who's taking Harinam initiation today. And we want to give him his beads and his name. Hare Krishna Mani is his name. Well, he's known as Hare Krishna Mani, but is that actually a name that was adopted at some point? Would you like to come forward and accept the beads and take your vows? Can we open the curtains for this? Is it possible? So it can be done before the deities? So please come forward. Songbooks you're collecting? Weekend, because he's not going to be in Ottawa when I go there in a few weeks, I've agreed to give him initiation here in Hartford. And you're going to take vows today? Can you please tell me what vows you're taking today?
Can you just chant 16 rounds a day? I'm pure vegetarian as usual. Since birth, I'm a vegetarian. I continue to be vegetarian throughout my life. My ambition is to chant everybody to give the same mantra to everyone. And whomever I meet, I explain to them what is the use of chanting.
The four records of principles, what are they?
No meat eating, no gambling, no incest, no intoxication.
I know we don't have to ask you for these. They're natural for you. His whole life he's been following this. So, today we're accepting you as an initiated disciple. And we're giving you your initiated name. Your new name is Harinam Amrita Das. May you always relish the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, it's time for aarti. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Hare Krishna.